heartfelt and joyful welcome to everybody to our online session. Wherever you are, in so many different places of this world. And as usual, we will start with the sharing. Yes, Michelle, please.
Hello, everybody. I'm sorry I wasn't able to be here for the whole retreat live, but I managed at the end. And this retreat was very difficult for me. I was crying a lot. And now, by the end, what happened, there was in the middle of retreat, I want to share something beautiful. I decided to make a sweets that I made out of nuts. And I was doing metta while doing it, and then I gave it to my working colleagues. And everybody loved it. So now everybody is happy at work. So I decided I'm going to give them what I wished they would give me, and I swapped, and now everybody is nice, at least to me. So I'm very surprised how quickly things can change. So that was very grateful for the metta candies. Thank you, everybody, for a beautiful time.
Thank you, Michelle. And Wells, here we have Helena, please.
It's not so much about the practice, because it's not going so well today, but it's more, I'm really grateful that this online retreat, that's an online retreat that we are having here, because otherwise I couldn't take part. And so it's so nice to have this opportunity, and I'm feeling that I'm making it half in the day and half meditation, half working, half meditation, and I'm feeling how good it does my personality, how much it gets a bit more grounded, but also a bit more friendly, something like this. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Helena. Yes, Monique, please.
I want to thank you, Aria, for your beautiful Dhamma talk from yesterday. I love all those meta stories, and I was touched my heart very much, and also your kind words over your last Dhamma talk. Thank you.
Thank you, Monique. Yes, Karina, please.
To tell that I was struggling Saturday a lot, and although the sun isn't shining here in this part of the world at the moment, it shines not a lot at the moment, but yesterday everything brightened up, so it was as if my thoughts and my mind was clearing up, so I was very happy. Thank you.
Thank you, Karina. And who else? We are sharing a beautiful metta-filled silence. It's still possible to share something verbally if you wish.
Hi, this is Melissa. I'll go. I just really don't want this retreat to end. I've benefited so much and seen just so much development in my practice and feel like the baseline of my just general kindness and happiness has improved so much. And I just would love to continue. I feel so inspired. I see all the places where my metta needs improvement and can grow, all those places where I really want to continue doing, practicing more deeply. And just the container has been really wonderful, and I'm so grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, Melissa. If there is nobody else, then we can... Oh, we have Christine. Yes, please.
Hi, everybody. I just wanted to echo Melissa. This has been super beneficial for me, and I love seeing you all in the squares every morning. Every morning, my time, anyway. And I also just want to say goodbye to you all. I won't be able to be here tomorrow because I have to... prep for a medical procedure, but I hope you will take the metta back into your regular life, and I hope I will do the same. So all the best to you all.
Thank you, Christine. So then now I hand over the microphone to Ayavi Ranyani, who will continue.
Thank you, dear Sister Aurelia. Thank you, everybody, for your practice. As you can hear, things are still popping over here. And I, for some reason, cannot connect with Zoom on my computer. I don't know what's going on. So I'm with my phone and I can only see, you know, a few of you at a time, which is a real pity. But if I scroll through as I'm doing right now, it's just such a joy to see everybody. Really see your faces, see your metta smiles. And to know that this will continue no matter what. Often, you know, of course, on an intensive residential retreat, now is the time when we all talk about, oh, taking metta into your regular life and yada, yada, yada. But this intensive online retreat is different because you've been in your regular life, some of you more than others. So that's less of a question and more of a practice. Because each day you've shared, all of you, the various ways that you've been bringing metta into your lives. The various kinds of things you've had to do to navigate this realm of a metta retreat where you're actually at home or even at work, but certainly amongst many other beings. And we begin to see our impact on people. Like what Michelle shared today was really beautiful. We begin to see the impact of the metta on people. Because when we engage with the world with metta, people feel it and they respond. And we make a difference in the world. Which is what basically, of course, all of us want. I came across a quote from Jane Goodall, who has been a role model for so many people out to be in the world. And she says, you can't go through a single day without having an impact on the world around you. What you do makes a difference. And you have to decide what kind of difference you want to make. And I love that because it really expresses so beautifully what we do in the metta practice moment to moment to moment. We decide what we want to feed, what we want to put aside and just let it be there but not add to it, not amplify it. And so in each moment, we're deciding, we're making a decision of what kind of world we want to live in the future. We're creating a future moment to moment to moment. And this is basic karma. And one thing I wanted to speak a little bit about tonight to kind of underline the pervasiveness of what we're doing is this beautiful group of qualities that in Theravada are called paramis. There are 10 of them. In Mahayana teachings, there's 6, paramita. And there's quite a lot of overlap, actually, of those two. And often in Burma, when we sit in intensive retreat, especially a long intensive retreat, we cultivate intensively the heart, the mind, cultivate qualities of wisdom and of the Brahma-viharas. And then we're instructed by the Sayadaws at the end of the retreat, or when the Sayadaw decides, no, your practice is leveled out, now it's time for you to go home and polish the paramis. So these paramis offer us a framework of how to practice in the world, of how to cultivate metta in the world. And these are noble qualities. And they're always accompanied by compassion, by skillful means, and by a lack of attachment. Unlike simple meritorious action, you can do something beneficial but have a kind of a mixed motivation. By definition, the paramis are free from that mixedness, free from that kind of, oh yeah, I'll do this, but you know that mixed agenda, that mixed intention that we can sometimes experience when we're doing something wholesome. And I want to, you know, just for those of you who need a reminder, I'll run through the list very briefly without saying anything more about what they are, except just to list them. The first, and we'll talk about this tomorrow, Uriya and I, Dana Parami, generosity. The second is Sila Parami, virtue. Then Nekama Parami, renunciation. Kanti Parami, patience. Virya Parami, energy. Satcha Parami, truthfulness. Adhitana Parami, determination. Panya Parami, wisdom. Then comes our favorite, Metta Parami. You know what that is? And Upeka Parami, to round it out, equanimity. And one thing that we can feel when we look at this list is a little bit of overwhelm. It's just like, whoa, that's a lot. That's a lot of practices to do and to think about and to work with and to forget, because we do, we forget them. And I used to have a list of these on the back of my door at one point. And I take one during the day to work with it. And it still to this day amuses me how sometimes if I can run through the list, there's always one that's missing, or maybe two, and it's like, oh, which one is that? And it just shows me the state of my mind in that moment. But I don't want to talk about the paramis in terms of working with each one of them. What I want to say very briefly is that when we cultivate metta wholeheartedly, when we have a pure moment of metta, a metta without any agenda, without any reserve, that purity of metta includes and has needed each one of those paramis. And when you look at this list, when you reflect about it, what's so interesting is when we cultivate one of them, all the other ones come along with. So when we cultivate metta, we're cultivating the other nine paramis in the background. We can't help it. We're polishing them in the background. And each one in particular, resonates with metta in a specific way. That's quite beautiful. For example, when we offer wholeheartedly happily, metta is spontaneously aroused, as is sometimes karuna. So that offering of dana really arouses and is accompanied by metta. May you be happy. May you be free from suffering. Yesterday, I made a small offering to some young Burmese men who live here in Malaysia who help at a retreat center nearby. It wasn't big. It wasn't small, but it wasn't huge. It's just a personal offering, knowing that at least two of them come from villages that have been torched by the present regime. And knowing that they support their families back home. And just reflecting before the offering, during the offering, after the offering, on the joy of that, it aroused so much metta for them and so much karuna also for the ones whose villages have been endangered. These two come together. And then there's sila, the practice of virtue, the precepts. And as all of you know who've done intensive retreats, we talk a lot about sila at the beginning because it is an active practice, holding the precepts. But it's not just an active practice of virtue. It's an active practice of metta, because we're protecting people around us from harm when we really devote ourselves to cultivating ethical conduct. We're protecting the world from harm. We're not adding to harmful actions. And so, of course, we hold the precepts. We might not be consciously practicing that, but it's there, has to be, as a result. I don't have to say anything at this point about patience and energy, because you know very well how much of those this practice requires. But not to forget, it works the other way around too, especially with patience. Because when we have patience, when there is patience, this is what allows metta to bubble up rather than frustration or judgment. So it's a feedback loop. The same goes for determination. Determination is something we use a lot in this practice. That's the standard translation of adhitana parami. But I really like resolve better as a translation. We make a resolve to incline the mind to metta, and we can do that first thing in the morning. This is a beautiful practice, actually. Before we get out of bed, to reflect on what might be coming in the day and to make a resolve to say to ourselves, I'll do my best to incline the mind to metta as often as I can. Not as a harsh thing or a job that we have to fulfill through the day, but just something to set the mind on at the beginning and then put aside to forget about consciously. And it has unconscious effects when we do this. So virya, energy, kanti, patience, adhitana, resolve. These we need in the metta practice. And when we feel the benefits of metta practice, we're more and more willing to use these in our lives, to not let a moment go by without being kind. And as some of you, going on to Panya wisdom, as some of you have really beautifully described, when the metta is strong and powerful, when the metta is pure, where are the barriers between us and other people? It's the most beautiful thing, and this is an expression of wisdom. We live in this world intricately and in so many ways we cannot imagine, connected with everybody else, just on a conventional level. There's no separate self. And of course, at a deep wisdom level. And the wisdom that sees how we create suffering for ourselves and each other. The wisdom that sees cause and effect. Really bubbles up when we do this metta. That's what allows us to put things aside and not engage in difficult, unwholesome states. Because why? We know where it's going to go and it's not going to be anywhere good. Even though we can feel the gravitational pull of that grief or that aversion or that judgment or that anger. And then, of course, metta and upekkha
And one thing to say about upeka, because balance is essential for all the other Brahma viharas, for compassion, for metta, for empathetic joy. And understanding cause and effect brings this balance. So there's this interconnectedness. Not to forget that. Not to forget that the seeds that you are planting will bear fruit. Not to forget that no matter what's going on in your life, no matter how difficult or awful things that might be coming up are, if you've planted wholesome seeds, there will be wholesome results. You can't avoid that. So remembering that just inclines us to more patience, to more resolve. And then one I haven't spoken of, truthfulness, I like particularly because it's embedded in the Metta Sutta. The very beginning of the Metta Sutta, and many of you have heard me say this many times, but I just love it. There's a part that, where the Buddha says, for one who wants to cultivate the path of peace, one should be straight, very straight. One should be very honest. Truthfulness, honesty, and particularly about what's going on in oneself is essential for the spiritual path. And one of the things that's touched me most about this retreat is some of the incredibly beautiful, truthful, difficult sharings. It's not hard to say, oh, the practice is going really well. But it's much harder to say, well, actually, I actually don't want to practice. Or lots of anger's been coming up, and I really, towards everybody, including the teachers, you know, it's really wonderful to be able to share this. Because that's an expression of truthfulness. Fearless honesty with ourselves leads to a really powerful kind of humility where we step down off our little soapbox, whatever soapbox we have of ourselves, or we step up out of the hole we've put ourselves in. We disengage from pride, we disengage from self-judgment. And it brings us to this beautiful, humble place of common humanity, where we realize, oh, yeah, I have anger too, just like that difficult person. Or, yeah, I've harmed other people too, just like that. Or, yeah, I really am not connected with most people and go through my life ignoring them, just like I don't want people to ignore me. You know, it brings us to this place where we're so sensitive to how we're in the same boat, all of us, this common humanity, this which is the basis of the whole metta path, as you know, to all is to myself. And from that place, there's such a willingness to hold imperfection with kindness and compassion. And so, when we cultivate metta, we cultivate that truthfulness. And we need that truthfulness. And the more metta we have, the more of each one of these paramis we will have. Each one, they come together as a package. And yes, you can polish one or the other specifically. And that can be a very beneficial thing to do. But in the background, this beautiful, sweet,
this beautiful group of characteristics, these ways of being in the world, become stronger, become more habitual. So yes, polish the paramis, every single one, and you can do that just by continuing the metta practice. And in a single moment, when we, as that quote that I used the other night, when we make metta our vehicle, the basis of our life, when we stabilize it, when we consciously cultivate it, we exercise it, and we perfect it, we're perfecting every single one of the paramis as well. This supports our onward leading practice, whether it be a specific Brahma-Vihara practice like this one, or a Vipassana practice. This supports harmony in the world and everything around us. And this supports peace in the world. And so beginning here and now in this moment, moment after moment after moment, we're making a difference, choosing to make a difference, choosing metta and all those other beautiful paramis. It's not something to be overwhelmed by, this list, but something to rejoice in, because you're all cultivating each one of these, every single moment. So rejoice in that, recognize that, and use that to continue to make a difference in the world. So beginning right now with practice. And today we'll go on in this practice to cultivate metta for all beings everywhere without exception. Opening the heart and mind as widely as is it possible. Please remember that all beings everywhere does not just mean beings on this earth, but beings in the whole universe and in all universes. So beings imaginable and unimaginable, known and unknown, living right here around us or infinitely far away. So we'll begin with about 5 minutes. Please cultivate metta in the very beginning, wherever it's easiest for you. And then thank you, Aria, if you could ring the bell after 5 minutes. And when Aria rings the bell, then just ease into metta for all beings, using the same phrases you've been using. May all beings everywhere without exception be well, happy, and peaceful, or just may all beings be well, happy, and peaceful. And continue in the silence as we go on. So please settle back. Make yourself comfortable. You saw my face just there. I did something with my knee. Please don't do something with your knee. Make yourself physically comfortable. Relax the mind and body. And gently, patiently, kindly begin to cultivate metta for someone who is very easy, for whom you can joyfully cultivate metta and easily cultivate metta. And I'll have a few more words after Aria rings the bell about all beings. now closing with this person. And opening the light of metta to all beings everywhere without exception. In all realms and in all directions. May all beings everywhere have happiness. May be peaceful and at ease. Whatever phrase you've used in previous categories, continuing this with metta for all beings everywhere. No need to try to visualize each one, you can. But the light of metta that radiates out touches each one. So just letting metta do its job and inclining to it over and over again for metta for all beings everywhere. No one left out. No one apart. Boundless, exalted, immeasurable, metta for all beings everywhere. So thank you everybody for your practice. And please continue in this same way in your formal sitting and walking and in general activities. Opening the heart to all beings everywhere and just radiating. It's just such a beautiful practice. And of course, in your general activities, to be flexible, creative, inventive, finding more and more ways to incline the mind to heart, or a mind and heart to metta. No matter what, no matter where you are, in each moment, making a difference. So I turn you over now to Ariya, who will guide us in the metta chanting after having answered all your questions.
Yes, please come forth with all your questions. Donatella, please.
Yes, so while wishing the well-being to all beings, actually two beings, specific beings came up to my mind, which are very difficult people. And so I was wishing may you be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. And so these Mr. Putin and Mr. Netanyahu came up, and so a reflection came. I was thinking that actually by wishing them, also them, to be free from the causes of suffering, that would make them better people, because they would be free from greed, they would be free from aversion and all that causes them to do terrible things. So in one hand, for a while I was able to include them wholeheartedly, but then at the same time I realized that that was a huge agenda, that I actually included them because if the wish was fulfilled, they would become better people and the world would become a better place. So it's like, on one hand, it makes easier to include a difficult person by wishing this difficult person to be free from the causes of suffering and to be free from suffering. But on the other hand, the agenda is there. So what would you suggest?
Yes. Thank you, Donatella, for this question. You know, we have said many times, yes, we should be careful not to have an agenda when we do the metta practice, meaning, yeah, we radiate the metta so that, you know, the other person or the persons do change and, you know, they become better persons. But at the same time, you know, not doing the metta practice at all is also not a solution. So we can do the metta practice and we can be aware that this agenda is present. But okay, you know, we are not yet perfect. Just acknowledging, yeah, I noticed this agenda is still there. And with that acknowledgement, you know, trying not to feed the agenda, not to turn the mind too much into this direction, but trying to kind of let that agenda be and more wholeheartedly just do this wish for all beings, including these two difficult beings. And A little detail that we have also mentioned is that, you know, when you say, may you be free from the causes of suffering and suffering, so using the word you makes it more easy that we have this agenda, you know, you, this other person. So, you know, not using you can also help that we stay with us, you know, cultivating this wish in ourselves and just radiating it out. Another question? Well, it seems like our talks that you listen to and all our reflections here on this online session, they have been so good and so complete that there is no more question. Well, there is Claudia, please.
So when I'm in this experience of mainly for me this is widening the heart or have an open heart, and then it's very calm on one side, and then there's a commentary in my mind that is naming wonderfully, you know, judging or like a Dharma chat about my experience. And then I see also that I kind of rehearse how I would tell about this. Yeah, there's this calmness, and in the background, or more or less in back or before, it is this chance of naming what is the experience, and also praising this wonderful state of mind.
Zuallererst, es ging kein Todes, hören Sie weiter, anders als angekündigt, Botschaftsdurchsatz aus Sehnung und Achtsamkeit.
Sorry, Claudia, I have muted you because there was some very funny noises, like a radio going on in the background or in the foreground. But anyway, I think, you know, I got your question, and what you described about this commentary in the background, or, you know, chatting, like telling this experience somebody else. This is a very common experience that happens in the practice of meditation, not only when practicing metta, but also in the practice of vipassana meditation. I know this experience all too well. My mind has been doing it a lot. And so what we can do is to notice it, be aware that this is happening. And when doing metta, you know, then we would try not to pay attention to that commentary, to that talking in the back of the mind, and put some more effort into the cultivation of the metta. And what can be helpful here is putting some more effort into the gentle repetition of the metta wish, because, and really paying attention to the meaning of these words. So 100% of the attention, you know, shining the light of that attention to the metta wish, to the meaning of the words, And in this way, trying to occupy the mind with this and not giving it the opportunity to let this chatter go on in the back. And, you know, if it comes back, okay, acknowledge it, but do not pay attention to it. Don't make a problem out of it. Let it just be there, but kind of bring the mind again and again, just to the cultivation of metta. Thank you. If there is no more question, then we can go on to the metta chants. And I would like to start with the four boundless states in Pali. You find it on page 3. And by now you're quite familiar with this chant, so we can do it at a good clip. At a good speed. Then let's start. Metta sahagatena cetasa ekang disang paritva viharati tata dutiyang tata tatiyang tata chatutang iti udamada tiriyang sabati sabha tataya sabha vantang lokang metta sahagatena cetasa vipulena mahagatena appamanena averena apyapacena paritva viharati karuna sahagatena cetasa ekang disang paritva viharati tata dutiyang tata tatiyang tata chatutang iti udamada tiriyang sabati sabha tataya sabha vantang lokang karuna sahagatena cetasa vipulena mahagatena appamanena averena apyapacena paritva viharati mudita sahagatena cetasa ekang disang paritva viharati tata dutiyang tata tatiyang tata chatutang iti udamada tiriyang sabati sabha tataya sabha vantang lokang mudita sahagatena cetasa vipulena mahagatena appamanena averena apyapacena paritva viharati upekha sahagatena cetasa ekang disang paritva viharati tata dutiyang tata tatiyang tata chatutang iti udamada tiriyang sabati sabha tataya sabha vantang lokang upekha sahagatena cetasa vipulena mahagatena appamanena averena apyapacena paritva viharati. After this energizing metta chant, we will do a calming one, a and this is the Loka Samastha in the middle of page 6. So then we will begin. Loka Samastha Sukhino Bhavantu. 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 We will stay on this page at the top, the Frida. As Ayavira Jnani has said in her reflections at the end, with the practice of metta, with manifesting kindness and loving kindness, friendliness, we contribute to the peace in the world. We support peace. And that's what we are expressing with this chant, with this canon. To begin, Frieda wünsche mir und Frieda wünsche dir. Frieda für euch alle und für die ganze Welt. Frieda wünsche mir und Frieda wünsche dir. Frieda für euch alle und für die ganze Welt. Frieda wünsche mir und Frieda wünsche dir. Frieda für euch alle und für die ganze Welt. Frieda wünsche mir und Frieda wünsche dir. Frieda für euch alle und für die ganze Welt. Frieda wünsche mir und Frieda wünsche dir. Frieda für euch alle und für die ganze Welt. Zivat. And as the last chant for tonight, we will do the Burmese chant on page 2, followed by the Burmese sharing of the merits. We'll do the Burmese chant 3 times and also the sharing. And happily, joyfully, generously share all our goodness, all our merits with everyone, with every living being, wherever they are. Then we'll start. Alon tatawadvi jamma chabasi chanda chabasi kosiya gin chabasi seisiya gin chabasi asasa ayaya asimpi chabasi Alon tatawadvi jamma chabasi chanda chabasi kosiya gin chabasi seisiya gin chabasi asasa ayaya asimpi chabasi Alon tatawadvi jamma chabasi chanda chabasi kosiya gin chabasi seisiya gin chabasi asasa ayaya asimpi chabasi Ahmiya, 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 yoda moja bakolo, sadu, sadu, sadu. Ahmiya, 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 yoda moja bakolo, sadu, sadu, sadu. Ahmiya, 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 yoda moja bakolo, sadu, sadu, sadu. So with this, we end this online session together. There will be interview groups tonight. Group C is with Aya Viranyani, and Group F is with Aya Viranyani, and Group C is with myself. And just a piece of information. Today I sent an email to you with the information about the dana, about the practice of generosity. You will have some information, what the dana is, supporting of the teachers, and you have the very practical information where and how to send the dana. And, you know, this doesn't need to be today or tomorrow. It can be in the days to come, so whenever it is convenient for you. So then I wish us all an ongoing joyful metta practice, and see you soon and see you tomorrow again. Bye bye.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.